Good evening, everyone. We are learning Ein Yaakov, and we're in Brachos and Daf Yod. And before we begin, I would like to dedicate tonight's shiur to a wonderful Jew, Dr. Chesky Ziegelman. When one has to maneuver the labyrinth of the medical hierarchy, it is always good when one has a friend that stands at one side, and Chesky has stood by our family's side in many different circumstances, and out of tremendous appreciation, I want to dedicate tonight's shiur to him. May Hashem bless him in his endeavors and fulfill his wishes. Yemalei mishorot libo letova. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. We are holding on Daf Yud in the Gemara in Brachos. Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rashbi. My dichtiv, how are we to understand the verse towards the very end of Mishle, in that famous chapter of Eishes Chayil Mi Yimtza? How are we to understand the verse almost at the end? We know Eishes Chayil goes according to the Aleph Beis, and when we reach the letter Pei, Pia Pascha Bechochma, she opened her mouth in wisdom, v'toras chesed al lishona, and the Torah of chesed is on her tongue. So we've discussed earlier this duality of speech stemming from the peh and speech stemming from the lashon. We discussed the different aspects in discussing the verse Hashem sifatai tiftach ufi yagiti latecha. If you recall, we discussed the different sounds are pronounced with different parts of the mouth, and corresponding to that there are different levels, to the point where the letter hey, which has, so to speak, that's the smoothest one, that's mere breath, that letter is the letter that represents Hashem. So now Shlomo HaMelech says in this chapter, she has opened her mouth in wisdom and Torah's chesed is on her tongue. Now, in general, our sages taught us that Eishes Chayil refers to different women of valor. There are different midrashim about who Eishes Chayil refers to. One midrash breaks it down to our history and takes verse by verse and says how each verse refers to different women of valor throughout our history. And another midrash says that the whole chapter is a reference to the Torah. But here, it is difficult to say the whole chapter refers to the Torah, because this verse says, Torah's chesed al lishona. So there's Torah on her tongue. Well, Torah doesn't have Torah on her tongue. So who's this verse referring to? Keneged mi amal Shlomo mikra ze, corresponding to whom did Shlomo HaMelech say this verse? Lo amaro ela keneged David David. Shlomo said it corresponding to none other than his father David. Shedal b'chamisha olamot v'amal shira. David HaMelech, like all humans, had a period in which he lived in different worlds, totaling five different worlds, and corresponding to those five different worlds, he said song. We know that shira stems from inner strength. Shira stems from Ruach HaKodesh. So the beginning of the verse, Piha patecha bechochma, she opened her mouth with wisdom. That means David HaMelech opened his mouth with the wisdom, with the Ruach HaKodesh that Hashem placed upon him. And we'll see the continuation, how the continuation of the verse works. What are the five worlds that David lived in? Dal b'mei imo, he lived in his mother's innards. V'amal shiran, he said a song, as the verse says, Barechi nafshi et Hashem, my nefesh should bless Hashem, v'chol keravai et shem kocho, and all of my innards bless His holy name. Why his innards? So Chazal understood this is a reference to the fact that he was in Hashem's womb, in his mother's womb. In his mother's womb, our sages knew, they didn't have ultrasound, but nonetheless they told us that the child's mouth is sealed shut, and he gets fed through his belly button, through the umbilical cord. So, chol keravai, how is my nefesh going to bless Hashem? I can't do it with my mouth when I'm in my stomach, in my mother's stomach, but rather chol keravai, my innards, what's the aperture that's open that connects to the outside world? That is the keravai, that's the navel, the belly button. Well, it's not yet sealed as a belly button. So that's why David HaMelech says, my innards will bless Hashem's holy name. So that refers to the time he was in his mother's stomach. Yatza la'avir ha'olam, he came out into the air of the world, and our sages taught us that a person is only affected by the stars and the constellations whilst he enters the world, the air of the world. So long as he's in his mother's stomach, they don't affect him. And that is why Chazal said that the moment of birth has such defining strength with regard to a person's development. We know that Chazal said we can tell all kinds of things about a person depending on when he was born, where the stars were at that moment, because that is the moment that he comes under the forces of the stars. So he entered the air of the world, v'nistakel b'kochavim u'v'mazalot, and he took note of the stars and the zodiac, the constellations, v'amar shira, and he said song, as the verse says, Baruchu Hashem malachav giborei koach oseh dvaro lishma b'kol dvaro, Baruchu Hashem kol tzeva'av, bless Hashem all of his armies. And we know armies is a reference to the stars. Now it's interesting to note that in the verses the word that's used is bracha, blessing. And our sages said that this bracha is a form of song. Yanak mishdeimo, he nursed from his mother, v'nistakel b'dadea, and he took a look at her chest where he was nursing from, v'amar shira, he said song, as the verse says, b'chi nafshi et Hashem, v'al tishkechi kol gemulav, and don't forget all of Hashem's kindness. Gemulav can mean like gemilut chesed, or my kol gemulav. What is gemulav referred to? Amar ediavu, shasala dadaim bim kombina, that God made it that a woman nurses from the place of understanding. Why? We know that a woman has bina yetira, a woman has extra understanding. And Hashem made it that the child nurses from corresponding to her heart. Taima mai, why is it that a woman nurses from there? Ordinarily a woman emits her fluids from other parts of her body. Amar Rav Yehuda, kedei shelo yistakel bimkom erva. First understanding is he shouldn't look at her private parts. If she'd be nursing where she emits her other fluids, he'd be looking at her at a place that he's not supposed to look. Rav Matna amar kedei shelo yinak mimkom atinofet. Rav Matna said a different reason, so that he'll nurse from a place that's clean, he won't nurse from a place that's filthy. So this is the third song he sang, in appreciation of the way he nursed. Now, we have to recognize, when was the last time you guys thought about the time you were in your mother's stomach? Probably never. When was the last time you thought about the fact that you nursed from your mother? Probably never. It takes a great man like David HaMelech to stop at some point in his life and look back and say, wow, Ribbono Shel, what'd you do for me? The miracles of science, the fact that this is the way you created it. You know, a child in his mother's womb, his mouth is sealed shut, and everything's coming in and out from his umbilical cord. There's this split second when he comes into the world when everything switches. Suddenly his mouth is open. A second earlier it wasn't open. Second later, it is open, and it's got to be at exactly the right second. Even when we marvel at the miracles of nature, our tendency is to look outwardly. Many a time, we'll look at nature and we'll say, that's amazing! Look at the way that baby is born! Even as parents, you'll see, Be'ezrat Hashem, when you'll merit it, your wife will get pregnant, you'll see that it's one of the most amazing things. You start analyzing what's happening. If you could read a book, today they have all these books that describe how the baby's developing. So you read it and you're amazed. Look at the development, look at science. But we always look externally. We say, look at that baby that's being created. How often do we look at ourselves and say, look at what Hashem did for me. This is how I was created. It's much easier to look at something else and it's external to us. We don't have to show appreciation. About me? What do you mean? I'm nothing special. Hashem did for me what He did for everyone else. I have to show appreciation to Hashem. That's a different story. That's far more difficult for us. I tell a person, say thanks that you're breathing. A person can give a lecture about the greatness of the fact that we're breathing. About all the different things that have to happen in order for a person to breathe. But for a person himself to stop and say, thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, that I'm breathing, that's the greatness of David HaMelech. David HaMelech looks back and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, what'd you do for me? I appreciate even starting with the first inkling of life inside my mother's womb. I want to show you appreciation for that. And he sings a song in honor of that. He comes out to the world and he's under the stars and he says, now I have to sing a new song for that moment when I came under the stars. If we want to look deeper, we could say that David HaMelech had every reason in the world to complain. From the minute he was in his mother's womb, there was discussion, maybe he was a bastard. It was unclear how his mother got pregnant. So things weren't too hunky-dory at those moments when he was in his mother's womb. There's a question whether he'd ever be a Jew that was accepted into the Kahal. He's born and he's under the constellations. What mazel does he have? He has a mazel that he's supposed to die the day he's born. Adam Rishon gives him extra 70 years to his life. He has a mazel that he's supposed to be a murderer. He uses it for good. But he could have looked at all of this in the negative, and instead he looks at it positively. He saw the downfall of the wicked, and he sang song, as the verse says, the Gemara teaches us that when the wicked pass from the world, it is good for the world and it is good for them. So when David saw that, looking into the future, he sang song about that as well. He looked to the day of death and sang song, as the verse says, blessed, my soul is blessing Hashem. Hashem, how great you are. You've adorned yourself with glory. Hod and Hadar are two terms for glory. The Gemara asks, what indicates that this verse refers to the day of death? The end of the verse indicates that, as the verse says, you gather their spirit, that's the day of passing, yigvaun, and they pass away. So we see that that's the time David HaMelech was singing song about. And this, I think, is probably the most difficult of all. We once learned the long medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu's day of death. Moshe Rabbeinu standing opposite the day of death, and he's having arguments with God. He's saying, why should I die? And the Medrash brings a long argument, page after page, how David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I shouldn't die. I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu argues back and forth. The Ribono Shel Olam tells him, are you greater than Avram? Avram died. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, I am. There's an aspect where I did more than him. Are you greater than Yitzchak? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, I got an answer for that too. One by one, every claim, they go back and forth. We spent one Hoshana Rabbah by night learning page after page the arguments back and forth. David HaMelech is able to look at the day of death and sing song about the day of death. Chazal tell us that when it came to afflictions, so Job was afflicted and he yelled. We have the whole book of Job, he's yelling. Aaron was on a higher level, he suffered afflictions and he was silent. He was able to accept it. Vayidom Aaron was able to accept it in silence. And that's no easy feat. But Chazal teaches that David was on a greater level. David, when he was afflicted, was able to sing, to praise Hashem, and say, Hashem, I'm ready for more. Hashem, I know it's good for me. That's David. I think we see the same trait over here. I didn't see anyone that says it, but I think it's not a far stretch to say that David HaMelech singing about the day of death is also an aspect of David's greatness. So we explain the five songs that David HaMelech sang corresponding to the five worlds that he saw. Rav Simi Barukva Vamila Marukva Havashkech Kamed Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, either Rav Simi Barukva or Marukva himself used to frequent before Rav Shimon Ben Pazi Vavemsada Ragata Kamed Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, and used to arrange the Agada before Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. Amali, so he said to him a following question. We're going to see, he asks a question, he receives an answer, and he says, no, I meant a different question, and here's the answer. So he's asking a question which he really knows the answer to. So he asks him, my dichtiv, what does the verse mean? Barechi nafshi et Hashem, v'chol keravai et Shem kodsho. My nefesh blesses Hashem, and all my innards bless His holy name. Amali, so Rav Yeshua ben Levi answered him, bo'u'e, come and see. Shelo kimidat haKadosh Baruch Hu midat v'sar v'dam. That God doesn't behave as flesh and blood do. Midat v'sar v'dam, the way of flesh and blood. Sal tzura al gabei haKotel, he fashions a shape on the wall, and it's two-dimensional. He cannot insert into that shape a spirit, a neshama, innards, intestines. Ba'kadosh Baruch Hu Eino Ken, and God isn't so. Tzal tzura betoch tzura. God makes shapes within shapes. We know you break down the shapes, there's more. When I was learning Shechita, so we used to have a model cow in the Beis Medrash that we got from a medical lab. And the way it worked was you could take apart the cow and see the heart. And then you take apart the heart and you see the chambers. And then you take apart the chambers and you see the parts of the different chambers. Every part of the cow could be taken apart to see it down to the smallest part. Tzal tzura betoch tzura. Hashem makes shapes within shapes. Everything is three-dimensional. And everything can be analyzed to greater depth. There's more and more shape. There's more and more to understand, down to quantum physics. Umatil baruach unshama, and God implants within it a spirit, a neshama, kirbaim uvnei me'ayim, innards, intestines, and that's what Chana said in her song, in Kadosh Kashem, there are none that are holy, separate like you, Hashem, ki en biltecha, for there are none other than you, ve'in tzuch elokeinu, and there's no rock like our omnipotent one. My ve'in tzuch elokeinu, what does she mean, there's no rock like you, our God? En sayar kelokeinu, there's no artist like our God. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, what is David HaMelech praising? He's praising the fact that God can make a shape within a shape. That's why his innards are praising Hashem. And humans cannot do that. Now we have to ask a question. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Rava created a human. We know that the rabbis had an ancient tradition, a book that they had on tradition from Adam HaRishon. God gave Adam HaRishon a book called Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. And Sefer Yetzirah is a Kabbalistic work that we still have today. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote an explanation on it. It's a very complex, complicated to understand Medrash.
Is it available in English?
I don't know. Is it available in English? I don't know if it was ever translated. In English? Okay. Okay. So Chazal tell us that Rava, he created a human. He created a being that looked humanistic. The Gemara tells us that Rav Chiya, he was hungry, and they didn't have anything to eat, so they created a delicious cat, and they ate it. So we see they didn't know how to create these things. Our Gemara says, only God can make a shape within a shape and stick in a spirit and in a shama. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say that they knew how to create some kind of being that seems to have life. So Rashi over there says that they used Hashem's names to create it. But nonetheless, the Marsha explains, they could not put a neshama into it. And this being that they created could not speak. This function that we have of speech, we are taught by Chazal, that represents our life. When the verse says in Bereishis, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim, God blew within him the neshama of life, so the Targum says, Ruach memalela, a spirit of speech. That's nishmas chayim. The neshama is represented by our speech. We know that speech is the holiest action we can do. The speech is the one thing which you do not see a physical trace. You hear it, but you don't see it. We hear the speech. The speech is representative of the neshama. So what they created wasn't exactly human. So David HaMelech is saying, Barechi nafshi, that's the neshama, that's not like the neshama of the animals. We know that an animal also has a nefesh. But our neshama is exceptional, so that is what is praising Hashem, because no one can replicate that. But to replicate some kind of creature, that we know they were able to do. So the Gemara now is going to analyze the end of the verse of Chana before it goes back to the point we were discussing. We said that Chana also said this praise, that there's no artist like you, Hashem, ki in biltecha, there are none other than you. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Menasya, Al tikri en biltecha, ale en levalotecha. The verse should be read, you cannot be worn down. God is not like flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, so the things he creates wear him down. You build a building, you get worn down. The building can outlast the person. He gets worn down from it, the building lasts. But God, if something has to be worn down, it's his creations. But he himself doesn't get worn down. Amali, so now Rav Yehoshua ben Levi gave him this whole speech and this whole explanation about the verse. What does it mean? Barchi nafshi es Hashem mechol kerovai es Hashem kotro. So now Mar Ukva says to him, okay, ano hachi kamin alach. This is what I meant to tell you. Hani hei barchi nafshi keneged miya maran David. David Amel said five verses of barchi nafshi. My nefesh should praise you, should bless you. Who are they corresponding to? Why did David HaMelech say five special barchi nafshi? What do they correspond to? Lo amaran ela keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu uKeneged Neshama. David HaMelech said them corresponding to none other than the Ribono Shel Olam and the Neshama. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Kol HaOlam af Neshama Mela'at Kol HaGuf. Just as God suffuses, God is everywhere in the world, so too the Neshama suffuses the body. The neshama is everywhere in the body. So that's the first correspondence between Hashem and the neshama. Now we will enumerate four more, but as we read them we should think for a second. What is Hashem? We know Hashem from Hashem's revelations to us in the physical world. At the same time, we know that Hashem is spiritual and beyond the physical world. But our perception of Hashem stems from the physical world. The things Hashem revealed to us in this physical world. What is the neshama? We know the neshama is the life within this physical body. We know the neshama is the spiritual within the physical. And yet our revelations of the neshama all stem from the neshama's activities in this physical world. So the neshama, like Hashem, is only revealed through the physical world, albeit that we recognize that the neshama is something spiritual, like Hashem is spiritual. You guys with me? It's interesting, the Gra explains the entire book of Yonah as a book about the neshama. And Yonah is not a person, but rather Yonah is the dove, Yonah is the neshama that has to come here and deal with this physical world. And it's longing to go back up to heaven, but it first must contend with this physical world. And the trials and tribulations the neshama must put up with is represented by the sea that's in turmoil. The whole book of Yonah, the Gra explains, is the spiritual neshama contending with this physical world. So with that in mind, let's read again. What are these five correspondences, correspond, however you're supposed to say that, between the neshama and Hashem? Ma kadosh b'chu melech chol ha'olam, just as God is throughout the world, af neshama mle'at kol ha'guf, so too the neshama fills the body. Ma kadosh b'chu ro'eh, God sees, ve'ino nir'eh, yet cannot be seen directly. We don't see God in His spiritual fashion, but rather we see Him in His affecting the physical. At neshama, so to the neshama, ro'a ve'ina niret, can see, but it itself is not seen. You'll ask a person, with what do you see? A person will say, my eyes. You'll ask a person, well, what happens when a person dies? So there's something behind the eyes. There's the brain. Well, what's behind the brain? So at the end of the story, the thing that really perceives, the thing that really acts, is what we call the neshama. It sees, yet it is not seen directly. Ma kadosh baruch hu zan et kol ha'olam kulo, just as God feeds the world, all of the world, af neshama zan et kol ha'guf, so too the neshama gives life to the whole body, as we just explained. The neshama is the life of the body. Ma kadosh baruch hu tahor, just as God is pure, at neshama tehora, as we say every morning, Elokai neshama shnatata bi tehora hi. The neshama is pure. God put a pure neshama within us. Ma kadosh baruch hu yoshev bechadrei chadarim, just as God is enclosed in this room within a room, so to speak, He's hidden. At neshama yoshev bechadrei chadarim, so too the neshama is hidden. We read on Friday a beautiful story that the philosophers asked Choni HaMe'agel, all kinds of philosophical questions. One of the questions they asked him is, if a chicken is in its egg, is in the egg, the chicken is still in the shell, and it dies, how does the life come out of the shell? So Honiam Agil answered them, the same way the life came into the shell, into the chicken. Same way it came in, that's the way it goes out. We don't know where that neshama is. We don't understand how it goes in, how it goes out. But the neshama, we say, is enclosed in a room within a room, meaning it's somewhere deeply hidden in the person. Yavo mi sheyesh bo chamisha dvarim alalu. He who has these five aspects, the neshama that has these five aspects in which it is similar to Hashem, should come the yishabeach and praise the mishiyesh bo chamisha dvarim alalu, to the one that has these five attributes as well. Now here we have to pause for a minute. There's a Kabbalistic concept that the man is an olam katan, that man is a small representation of the major world. This concept is sometimes misunderstood. I don't understand it, so I can't say how it's misunderstood. But I do want to point out that the Nefesh HaChaim, in discussing this Gemara, he says that even though Chazal seem to have compared Hashem's connection to the world with the Neshama's connection to the body, a person who sees this should not err to think that this allegory is a real comparison. Because in truth, there's no way to compare our neshama to Hashem. The pasuk says, "Ve'el mi tedamyun el." To whom can you compare God? The pasuk explicitly says, "There's nothing to compare Him to." And anyone who has any understanding will understand, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that you cannot take something that Hashem created, you cannot take the thing created and compare it to the Creator. And Chazal, when they compared the essence of the neshama to the essence of the Creator, when they compared the two, there were certain aspects that they wanted to compare to show us the comparison. That even though the neshama is something that Hashem created, nonetheless, we cannot perceive the neshama, the essence of the neshama. We might think, what do you mean? The neshama's in me. Know thyself. Don't I know who I am? No. We can never completely understand the essence of who we ourselves are. Isn't that funny? Think about that. But Hashem put within each of us something spiritual, the neshama. That's what's doing the talking as I'm talking, and yet I don't begin to understand what it is. Something like that. Yeah. So that's what Chazal were pointing out. That even though this neshama is something that Hashem created, and it should be more tangible, something that we can perceive, nonetheless Hashem created it in a way that we cannot perceive it. And in that respect, the neshama is like Hashem, just as we cannot perceive Hashem. And so to each point, the comparison is with regard to a specific aspect. But not that we can really compare our neshama to Hashem. We are continuing. Amar Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna said, "Mai dichtiv." What does the verse mean in Ecclesiastes? Mikeh chacham umi yodeh pesho davar. Who is like the wise man, and who knows how to make a pshara, how to make compromise? Mika Kadosh Baruch Hu sheyodeh lasot pshara ben shnei tzadikim et Chizkiyahu liYoshiyahu. Who is like Hashem who can make a compromise between the king Chizkiyahu and his great uncle Yeshayahu? We know Yeshayahu was the son of Amoz, and Amoz and Amatsiah were brothers, and Chizkiyahu is the grandson or great grandson of Amatsiah. So Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu are relatives. Yeshayahu is the prophet, and Chizkiyahu is the king. So we find that when there were critical issues, questions of the city being under siege, Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu are communicating with liaisons. You have messengers going back and forth between Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu. That's how they're talking. So they're not meeting with one another. And our sages noted that they did not meet until Chizkiyahu is ill and Yeshayahu comes to visit him, he does Bikur Cholim. You'd think the whole city is under siege. Chizkiyahu doesn't know if to give in and if it's all over. So Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu have what to discuss, right? No, messengers, they don't talk directly. But now when Chizkiyahu is sick, for that Yeshayahu comes in. So our sages explained that there was a halachic argument between the two. The argument was, who is subservient to whom? Is Chizkiyahu the king, the pious king, subservient to Yeshayahu? Or is Yeshayahu, the prophet, the great sage, subservient to Chizkiyahu? There was a halachic argument between them. And both sides had proofs, and both sides held they were right. So God had to intervene and make a compromise. Chizkiyahu amar leiti Yeshayahu gabai. Chizkiyahu said, Yeshayahu should come to me. We find precedence to that. The great prophet Eliyahu, the Azi legabe Achav, went to the king Achav, even though Achav was an idol worshipper, but Achav was king, and Eliyahu held that the prophet has to show subservience to the king, as the verse says, Vayelech Eliyahu lerot el Achav. Eliyahu went to be seen before Achav. Now this pasuk is very problematic if this is his proof. Because this pasuk is speaking after 2 years that Achav was seeking out Eliyahu to kill him. And then God tells Eliyahu, go appear before Achav, because you told Achav that there would be no rain until you decree that there be rain. And I'm about to make it rain. So go keep your word and tell Achav that it's going to rain. So Eliyahu goes and appears before Achav. If that's Chizkiyahu's proof, then we have to ask, what is that? What kind of proof is that? That's the proof. But God told Eliyahu, go appear before Achav to tell him it's going to rain. And that's after 2 years that Achav was trying to kill him. Okay, so that needs discussion. Yeshayahu amar leiti Chizkiyahu gabai. Yeshayahu said, really Chizkiyahu should come before me. De'achi ashkichan be'yoram ben Achav de'azi legabe Elisha. That's what we find Yehoram ben Achav, when he was about to die of thirst, he went to Elisha. So what kind of proof is that? Yehoram was on his way to war. They had no water. Him and his men were about to die of thirst. And when they had no choice, they didn't know what to do. So they asked, is there a prophet around? They were told Elisha's around. And Yehoram went to Elisha. So again, this needs explanation. So there's this halachic argument between them. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does God do? Hevi Yisurin al Chizkiyahu. God makes Chizkiyahu deathly ill. Ve'amar lo li'Yeshayahu, lechu bakel t'chole. And God tells Yeshaya, go perform the mitzvah. Who's right? You might say, well, Chizkiyah is right. You see, man, God tells Yeshayahu, go to Chizkiyah. You might say, Yeshayah is right, because Chizkiyah got deathly ill, Yeshayah is fine, Yeshayah gets to perform a mitzvah. God tells him, go perform a mitzvah. So he's going to perform a mitzvah. Shenemaz, the verse says, Bayimim em chalach Chizkiyahu lamut. Chizkiyahu became ill, he was deathly ill. Vayavo elav Yeshayahu ben Amoz Hanavi, and Yeshayah, the son of Amoz, the prophet, came to him, Vayomer, and he told him, Ko amar Hashem, so said Hashem, Tzvakot, the one who's in charge of all the armies, Tzav lebitecha kimit atav lo techiyah. It's time to give over to your house, tell them what to do, because you're going to die in this world and you won't live. My kimit atav lo techiyah doesn't mean you'll die and you won't live. Met atav ba'olam hazeh, you're dying in this world, v'lo techiyah l'olam ba'an, you have no life in the world to come, because you have no children to continue your way. Amali my kuligai, Chizkiyah said, well, what's this tadadam? What are you getting all excited about? Why are you telling me I'm going to die and there's no future? I tell them, because you did not deal in Piri of Erivia. Piri of Erivia is one of those mitzvahs where we do not control the outcome. One only performs Piri of Erivia when one has a boy and a girl. Now, one has no control whether one will have any child. One can only try. So Yeshayah tells them, you were not osek b'Piri of Erivia. God holds it against you. They didn't try. The outcome isn't in your hands, but you should have tried. Amalei, so Chizkiyah answered him, Mishum dechazayli beruach hakodesh, for I've seen in ruach hakodesh the nafka minai that will come out of me benin de lo maali, children that won't be any good. So that's not going to bring me into the world to come. If the whole point, I'm not going to the world to come because I don't have children to continue my way, well, these children won't continue my way. And there's more to it than that. Halachically, if a child doesn't keep Torah or mitzvahs, the father didn't perform pru or vu. So Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu, you didn't do it. And Chizkiyahu says, well, I knew it wouldn't work anyways. And not only that, Yirmiyahu, who wrote the work of Melachim, tells us that the destruction of the first temple, the destruction of the Jewish people in the period of the first temple, was all thanks to Menashe. the child which Chizkiyahu is abstaining from bringing to this world. So Yeshaya tells him, you better bring a child to the world because you have no future. And Chizkiyahu says, well, I know that if I bring this child, the future is even worse. Amale, what does Yeshaya answer him? What are you dealing with the hidden world of God?
It's
a you have to do what you've been commanded to do. And let God do what He sees fit. Amale, Sechizkiyahu tells Yeshaya, okay, I accept your tochacha, you taught me something, hashta now, habli bratach, let me marry your daughter, efshal de galma zchuta didi vedidach menafka minay ibnim demali, maybe my merits and your merits together will cause that my children will be good children. Amale kfar nigzera alecha gzera, Yeshaya tells him, what did I just tell you? Chizkiyahu, I told you it's over. You're dying. Well, you want to marry my daughter? It's time to make her an almana. No, it's over, Chizkiyahu. You're dying. Amale. So Chizkiyahu turns to Yeshaya and tells him, Ben Amoz, son of Amoz, Kalenu v'atcha v'tzeh, finish prophecy you have to say and leave. Kach mekublani mibet aviyava. This is the tradition I have from David HaMelech. Even if a sharp sword is laying on a person's throat, laying on a person's neck, the gitin is there, it's sharp. All it needs to do is if you let go of it, that's it, it's over. And he should not stop from praying for mercy. As we know, David HaMelech was told by Hashem, how do you want payback? In your lifetime or your children's lifetime? You are supposed to be wiped out, annihilated. The descendants of David are supposed to be annihilated. How do you want it? In your lifetime or theirs? David HaMelech said, me. Why should they suffer because of me? And so Hashem made it that David was caught by one of the giants, Goliath's siblings, and he said, I'm going to kill you in an unusual way. And he threw him up to the heavens, and he placed the sword underneath and said, come on down. And David HaMelech is coming down towards the sword, and it's almost over. And there's a long story about how David was saved by his nephew. So, David, it was over. It was over. All he had to do was continue landing. Gravity only had to take its force and keep pulling him down, and it was over. And David HaMelech didn't stop from davening. And he met up, his nephew told him, you're wrong. Let your children fend for themselves. You have to live. The Jewish people need you now. And David HaMelech said, God, I changed my mind. Okay. And then he was saved. So Chizkiyahu says, that's a tradition I have from our great-great-grandfather, from David. You came here as a prophet. As a prophet, you said what you had to say. To tell me that I don't have a future, to tell me to give up on the future, that's not your right. And that's a very important point. We say, a doctor was given a right, mikan shenitna zchut l'rofe l'rapot. A doctor was given a right to heal. But a doctor was not given a right to give up hope. Halachically, sometimes we have to take what the doctor says into account. There are halachot about this. If the doctor says it's all over, so sometimes there are different halachic decisions where we do listen to the doctor. There are questions about should a person extend their life and suffer more or suffer less, even though it'll be at the expense of a shorter life. And of course, we do take what the doctor says into account. But when it comes to davening, when it comes to what Chizkiyahu was saying about davening to Hashem to remove the decree, there Chizkiyahu says that's not your job. Even as a prophet, you can't tell me to give up. You can tell me God, this is what God said, and now it's my job to overturn the gzeira. Our sages say that until Chizkiyahu, no one was healed from this disease. Imagine a person, God forbid, the doctors tell him, you know what? The success rate of curing this is zero. We've never had a patient we've cured from this. That's where Chizkiyahu was holding. He had a disease that, as far as nature was concerned, there was no precedent of anyone in world history that had been healed from this illness. And the prophet just walked in and told him, it's over, and God said, you're dying. And what does Chizkiyahu say? You finish what you have to say. Leave, now I have to pray. Itmanami, we have also a halachic quote, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Talvayu. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both said, "Afilu cheruv chadam munach tatzavro shel adam." They said halachically, even if a sharp sword is on a person's neck, al yimnatz mo minarachamim, he shouldn't hold himself back from asking for mercy, as the verse says, "Ani k'teleni lo ayachel." Job, Eov said, even as he's killing me, I hope for him. I hope, Hashem, you're the one that's killing me, but I hope for you to help me out. Lisof, what happened ultimately? Yav Librate. So Yeshaya gave Chizkiah his daughter, and they married. Nafik Menei Menashe v'Rav Shake. So he had two children, Menashe and Rav Shake. Yom Achada, one day, Rachvinu akatfe lamtiyinu lebei medrisha. He was carrying them on his shoulders to take them to Beis Medrash, and Bezrat Hashem, next week, this is where we will pick up. And we have to discuss more depth as to why Chizkiah was carrying them on his shoulders and what message this gives us. For today, we have to pause. Bezrat Hashem, next week, we will continue.